Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Mike Sielski, I'm Glenn Mack now. We'll get to the phones in just a minute. 215-592-9494. All right. Switching gears for a moment, but staying in the theme of dumb things people said this week.
There's a surplus of it this week.
There is. And I think this is this one takes the cake. In case you missed the news, Tom Brady once again retired this week.
Again?
Yes. Which prompted more stupid things to be said. You know what? I don't even want to set it up much more than that, other than to say this is former offensive lineman Sean O'Hara, had a long career mostly with the Giants, center for the Giants, was on the NFL Network soon after Brady retired, and this was Sean O'Hara's take.
This is a huge moment, not just for Tom Brady, not just for the NFL, but like for all of us. You know, look, people remember where they were when JFK was assassinated. You remember where you were with 9/11.
Can I tell you something? Can I interrupt you real quick? His first start was a week after 9/11. That's how long ago he's been playing.
I came out the same year as him, 2000, and he's still playing. 23 years, that's a long time. But I'm going to remember this. Like, I'm going to remember who I'm with. Kyle's going to remember he was in Vegas. You're going to remember where you were when Tom Brady announced his official retirement. And it sounds like this one's for real.
Are you out of your freaking mind? Listen, I am old enough to remember where I was when Kennedy was assassinated. I was in first grade coming back from lunch when the teacher told us about it, and mm-hmm. We were little kids, and it's one of the moments that scarred my life. I remember where I was when 9/11 occurred, which was driving on the Schuylkill to do the show, hearing Al Morganti tell me that the first of the Twin Towers had fallen down. I didn't remember an hour after Brady retired where I was.
Never mind
what,
that.
What?
You're equating the retirement of a professional athlete to two national tragedies.
Yes.
Like, this is ridiculous. First of all, bad week for current and former Giants when it comes to weighing in on
yes.
the news of the NFL,
yes.
Number one. Number two, this to me strikes me as the kind of thing that someone who wants to make a rise in the sports analyst business says to try to garner attention.
Mm.
That Sean O'Hara would suggest that the second time that Tom Brady retires is the equivalent or akin to John F. Kennedy's assassination, the terrorist attacks of 9/11, and he didn't say this.
World-shifting events.
Yeah, like not even the Challenger. I remember where I was for the Challenger disaster in 1986.
Detroit, Free Press Newsroom.
Like, they're not the same thing.
No.
They're
no,
not the same thing
it's
at all.
So disrespectful to that. And I'm not sure that's the word I'm looking for, but off.
Like, you really have to be in a tunnel of football to think that Tom Brady retiring is in any way on par with those other events.
Yeah, anyway.
You really do.
Yeah, and okay. Well, that's the last of some things people said. We'll get I'm going to get to the phones in a second. But so Brady is now going to become a broadcaster. And before we go back to the phones, I want to talk about that because he signed last year, I guess upon his first retirement or as a futures contract, a 10-year, $375 million deal to be the lead analyst on Fox, which was put on hold when he went back. And Greg Olson kind of went into that job. Greg Olson will be doing the Super Bowl next week. I like Greg Olson, and I think Greg Olson will be better than Tom Brady. I guess I'll pose it in the form of a question to you. I know you like Greg Olson, so we don't have to cover that. Do you think Tom Brady's going to be any good at this?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have absolutely no idea. To me, this is the ultimate ironic situation if you think about it. Go way, way, way back. When Brady was playing at Michigan, he was Michigan's starting quarterback, and he was good, and they were winning games. And he got supplanted by a bigger name, by Drew Henson, who was the big recruit, the two-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. He was going to be Mr. Everything.
Yeah.
And Brady ended up losing his job, not on merit. It didn't have anything to do with the way Brady was playing. It was simply, well, Drew Henson's got to play because he's Drew Henson. And the same thing's going to happen here, I think, to Greg Olsen. You're right. Greg Olsen is terrific. He and Kevin Burkhardt are going to call that Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl, and it's going to be excellent. I can't guarantee anything about the Super Bowl, but I guarantee that the broadcast is going to be terrific. And Brady's going to come in and take Greg Olsen's job, and I have no idea how good he's going to be as an analyst.
I think, and maybe it's just me because I live in Philadelphia, I don't think Brady's got a lot of likability.
I think you're right.
I don't. And we will see how he turns out. I'm guessing, venturing, betting. You remember when they had Joe Montana, the greatest quarterback in football in the history of football, when he retired,
mm-hmm.
and Joe Montana went into the same gig, broadcasting, and it was terrible because he didn't want to say anything.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And I feel Brady may be the same thing.
It's rare to get, I think, the golden boy quarterback who is really good at that job. Troy Aikman is and has been for a long time, but Troy Aikman was also a pretty affable guy, from what I understand. When he was a player, he was smart, he was accommodating, he didn't hate the media, he didn't look down on anybody. That ain't Tom Brady.
No.
That ain't Tom Brady.
I interviewed Aikman a couple times, and it was a good interview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever was in a position to interview Brady, but whatever. And by the way, last thing on this, poor Greg Olsen. I read that his contract is, he gets $10 million a year if he's the A-team broadcaster. I think it was $2.5 or $3 million a year if he's not.
Right.
So he loses. Brady retires, and, you know, it may not be as memorable as the JFK assassination to everybody, but to Greg Olsen, he just lost $7 million that
day. Yeah. That ain't right.
No,
that ain't
right.
It's not about merit.
And it's, right. It's because one guy's the greatest quarterback ever, and the other guy's a tight end.
If I were Greg Olsen, I would have no compunction about. It's easy for me to say this, but I would have no compunction about saying to Tom Brady, hey, pal, you better be good. You better be really good. And putting some pressure on him because,
we'll see.
You know, it ain't right.
No, it's not right. Rob in Glen Olden is with us. Rob, what's going to happen a week from today?
Hey, Glenn, I had to call guys. Hey, Mike, how
Hi,
are
Rob.
You? Listen, you know, I'm superstitious just like everybody else or a lot of people. So I called up. I wasn't close, but, you know, I said 40 burgers the last 2 weeks, but they – you know, we couldn't predict knocking out a third string and a fourth string quarterback, but hey, our defense earned that right to do that.
Yep.
So that's just. By the way,
for people, because the narrative out of San Francisco this week is, oh, we would have beat them if they're in the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
The Eagles rushed for four running touchdowns, and the best run defense in the NFL. So apparently, the Eagles. I don't think that Brock Purdy had anything to do with that.
No. And I got a score for you at the end. I got two strategic points. One, I like our matchup of our wide receivers against their secondary, who I think has a couple of rookies in it. And I like the matchup of our secondary against their wide receivers. And my second point is this. If we can kind of follow, I know it's easier said than done, the blueprint that Tampa did a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
where he just rotate guys. And he was healthy in Mahomes. Now he's going to be healthier, but I still think he's not going to be close, obviously, to 100%. You just rotate guys, just hound him, put pressure on him. I don't see them keeping up with us. And my score, Glenn, and I'm going to get the pasta figure of Hoagie that day because I just got to do it, 41-24 Burks. And they're going to score a garbage touchdown at the end and make it 24. I just don't see them.
Wow.
There you go. Up. Thank you. Appreciate it. I hope it's right.
Rob from Glen Olden coming in hot with a, you know, 3-score difference there. One correction we got to make first, Glenn. The NFL draft is in Kansas City this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew there was a Super Bowl
tie.
That's right. That's right. It's going to be very disappointing for them when they have the 31st pick of the draft.
Much confidence here.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I said that, but I'm goofing. People, and I may do the tomorrow when I'm working with Jody, I may make this a theme. 5 years ago, everybody put on the underdog masks, mm-hmm. and everybody strutted around. But let's be honest. The Eagles were the underdogs, and this being Philadelphia, deep inside, people had a lot of fatalism.
Yes.
This time, everybody thinks they're going to win and going away.
Yeah, it's a different pose.
It's a weird position to be in as a Philadelphian. I'm not used to having all this. I'm almost nervous because I'm so confident. Does that make sense?
If you're from Philadelphia or you've spent any amount of time here, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, we like, the fans here like situations where they can root without having anything to lose or feel like they don't have anything to lose. That's why
The Phillies, man. House
right.
money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the sweet spot of Philadelphia fandom right there, the run the Phillies made. And I think this season is similar in that regard, in that the Eagles are better than anybody thought they would be. And they're so good that people are looking at this and saying, well, okay, like it's not so uncomfortable to be rooting for the favorite this time around.
I find it odd.
And yet.
I do. I find it odd. Warren in Gwynedd Valley. Hello, Warren.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Always.
Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Warren.
I don't like the feeling of, you know, boasting that the Eagles are going to win, but then feeling that what if they don't? And I put myself out there. It's just
yes.
like you guys are saying right now.
I hear it.
It's a very strange feeling.
It's a very odd feeling. I'm
and
entirely
the other
with
thing
you.
Is the lead up to this is also kind of awkward, where you know you've got a disrespected team and you've got an over. You know, appreciate a team in Kansas City and Andy Reid, where we have to earn the respect as the favorite, and the Kansas City gets all the respect. It's another.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think
strange.
In Kansas? Actually, our next caller lives in Kansas City, so I want to ask him. Do you think Kansas City right now the narrative is, hey, we've been to two of the last three Super Bowls, we won one of them, and yet we're the underdog. Nobody believes in us. You think they're playing that out there?
Probably, most likely.
Mike, does that ever work?
You know, I don't know if it works or not. I would wonder if the shoe were on the other foot and the Chiefs were playing in Philadelphia, meaning that was the Philadelphia had the Chiefs as its team and Kansas City
yeah.
had the Eagles.
Yeah.
Would people
Are
be you- saying, boy, I wonder, I hope Andy manages the clock all right. Or I hope, you know, I hope our team doesn't take a big lead early and then squander it late, because that's happened a couple of
yes,
times to him in the
that.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
I have a Tom Brady feeling when you were referencing where were you when Tom Brady retired.
Yeah.
I was thinking when he goes into broadcasting, I think it's going to be related to the Hindenburg disaster, because I think he's going to go down in flames.
Wow.
Thanks,
Can we make any more historically inappropriate comparisons on this show?
Hey, it's Sean O'Hara, baby.
Yeah, I know.
He started it.
I know.
All right, Clay is in Kansas City. Clay, you're an expat, right? We've talked to you a lot. What's the?
No. Actually, Glenn, I'm from here.
Oh, you are.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So remind me your connection to Philadelphia.
I have none, other than when I was growing up.
You've been calling us for a while.
Hey, listen, I've been listening to the show for years. Thank God for the Odyssey app, because I'm a huge Eagles fan.
And
man.
We appreciate that. I'm just, how did that happen,
Clay?
So when I was, remember Frank Gans and when he took over the Chiefs back in like 1987? The Chiefs were awful.
Yeah.
They were terrible. And like, I'm like a elementary school kid, and they're trying to force feed us the Cowboys, and I knew they were evil. So I just wanted to pick a different team. And I loved Buddy Ryan. I loved
wow.
him in the 46
years.
And they had Reggie and Randall, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go against the grain and be an Eagles fan. So I've been called a bandwagon fan before, but who in the hell was jumping on the Eagles bandwagon in 1987? Let's be honest.
That's a fair point, Clay. Got to admire that it was those teams that drew you into the Eagles, definitely.
Yeah, and Sonny Ticket makes it real easy in the internet. Like, I follow all the beat writers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Huge fan. Like, I know more about the team than my buddy that lives in Jenkintown. He's always calling me for the Eagles scoop. So
very cool.
Anyway, so I will say this. After the Chiefs won Sunday night, I get the, you know, some text like, hey, we're going to beat you guys. But I have heard nothing this week, because I'm a well-known Eagles fan, okay? I've got no dirty messages, no we're going to kick your butt. I called in to Ike's show earlier this week, and here's my take on this, okay? The Chiefs may have the best three players on the field. Chris Jones is really good. Travis Kelce is really, really good. And Mahomes is an alien, right? We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the next 15 players that are the best players are going to be wearing green. I mean, this team is loaded with talent. And you made a really good reference, Glenn, when you talked about that Bucs beat down of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs' offensive line is not much better
yeah.
than it was then. So, I mean, they have Creed Humphrey. He's a nice – because I do watch a lot of Chiefs games.
Mm-hmm.
But I will just tell you, I don't think they can block the Eagles' front. The Chiefs' defensive ends, they are nowhere like Joey Bosa and the other kid for the 49ers. They're not even Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
They're just guys.
I think I got to hit a break, but I appreciate it. And I think I don't know that I agree the best three players are in the Chiefs, because right now I think I might put Hassan Reddick on the best three players.
Darn right.
And I think the Eagles center and right guard, or center and right tackle, are guys who consider that. But, yeah, if you take the best 10 players on the field, seven of them are going to be Eagles.
Yeah. Look, again, we said this before the show, Glenn, but I think there is, at their core, this Chiefs team is basically the same as the Patriots team that the Eagles beat 5 years ago. You have an all-time great head coach. Back then you had Bill Belichick. This time it's Andy Reid. You have an all-time great quarterback, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. You have an all-time great tight end, Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce. Both those teams, though, were top-heavy. And that to me is the key to this whole thing. If the Eagles are able to kind of withstand what Mahomes and Kelce can do, they should win this game.
All right, quick break. 215-592-9494. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.